see a lot of youth and young people in service sometime is because this word have not changed. Young people are used to changing. Everything they get this tied to this week by next week is old. They have to change. But this word of God have not changed. Ushers, you may take your seat. It's been the same way all the time. He is an unchangeable God. He's so good and so perfect at what he does not need to change. I know that kind of bothers some of us because we thought that was us. But God, his word have not changed. He's still the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he will always be the same. I believe that if some of you, the way you know me, if you would have known my subject yesterday, you would have been expecting to see some props up here today to illustrate what one of my subjects is in this message, fishers of men. You would have expected to see something about fishing. And I just showed you something about fishing. I'm doing it today, just using the bait of the word. Jesus, in looking for people to follow him, he went down by the seashore to find men that would turn the world upside down. Fishers of men are followers. Is what Jesus was looking for. Jesus called into his ministry simple men. They were not religious leaders, not powerful men, not political leaders, or not leaders of the nation or rulers of the Sanhedrin body. Not even of the priestly profession. And they were not even students in school. They were just common, ordinary people that he called to help him to spread the ministry. Very simply, they were ordinary men, simple laymen, engaging in the affairs of life, just like all the rest of us of our day. Having said this, however, a question need to be asked. If these men were just ordinary men, why did Jesus call them instead of the more gifted people around? If you hang around and don't go to sleep on me, I'm going to try to tell you why. It lies in the very special qualities that the disciples possess. They did have some very special qualities that made them stand out from the average layman. This passage of scripture that was read in your hearing from chapter 1 in Mark, you can probably find it if it goes like most other passages in Matthew and Luke, because those are the synoptic gospels, and you might not find it in John. But what you find in one of these three, you can probably find in the others, not in the exact same words, but the same passage of scripture. I think I have 4 points. Point number one. The disciples of Jesus was industrious and hardworking men. Jesus saw Simon and Andrew casting their net into the sea. A little farther up the lake, he saw James and John, his brother, mending their net. Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost, has no use for a lazy person, slow moving, sloppy, disinterested and uncommitted workmen. He have no use for them. The person who Jesus called is an industrious, hardworking person. It's noticeable that God chose men who are busy, occupied with some kind of calling in their lives before he called them. If you don't believe it, follow me here for a few minutes here. Amos, he called him from the flocks. Amos chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. Moses, he called him from keeping the flocks in Exodus chapter 3. Gideon, he called him while he was thrashing wheat and trying to hide from those people that were looking for him. See, God does not call you if you're not already doing something. That's why, brothers and sisters, sometime in the church, seem like everything get put on somebody who's already doing something, who's already overloaded. Because the rest of us are walking around with our three-piece suit on, our Rockports and our Thompson Chain Reference Bible on our arm, looking good, doing nothing. Here this other person can't hardly walk because they're loaded down with stuff they do in the church. He calls Samuel from ministering to Eli in the temple. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 through 36. He called Saul while he was hunting his father's mule. He called him to be king of Israel, but he was busy doing something. 1 Samuel chapter 9. He called David from being a shepherd over his father's few flocks to be king of Israel. He was busy. He was doing something. He called Jeroboam from a ruler over to be a ruler over the house of Joseph. Everybody that God calls, they're busy doing something. That's in 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 28 through 40. Elijah was called from while he was plying his oxes in his field. He called him. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. Nehemiah was serving as the king cupbearer in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 11 through 2 and 10. Daniel, while serving as a eunuch in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, God called him. What are you trying to tell us, preacher? That God called people that are industrious and busy, that got something to do, and it doesn't look like they can take anything else. But instead of turning down the work of God, they said, by the grace of God, with God's help, I will do this. We go ahead and you do what you need to be done, what needs to be done, because somebody is going to benefit if you benefit from it, if you're working for God. God called us to be fishers of men. He wants us to go and get them because they are out there and they do not know that they need to be to be in the house of God. Paul, he called Paul. He called Paul while Paul was persecuting the church, dragging Christians out, having them put in jail and getting killed. And on his way to Damascus, God met him on the Damascus road. God called people that are busy. Paul didn't have time to do anything else but persecute the church. But when God called him, he turned all of that zeal that he had persecuting the church in working for God. And my question to you, brothers and sisters, are you working as much for God, as hard for God, as you were for the devil? Can't nobody answer that but you. But if you worked hard for the devil, if you enjoyed what you were doing for Satan, you ought not to be frowning when you get a chance to do something for God. Most of us, if not all of us, were to tell the truth. When we were out there doing our sin, we enjoyed it. That's why you stayed doing it. You didn't tell everybody you enjoyed it, but you told yourself, I can just hear you. I can hear you because I can hear me. Sunday morning, you wake up. Didn't we have a good time last night? Are you going to do the same tomorrow? Are you putting as much into God as you put into serving Satan? And you do know that he's jealous, don't you? But he won't hold it against you. But he won't industrious people. Don't think when you come to God, you can sit down on your stool or do nothing and do nothing. We need to be industrious and busy. He called it down by the seashore, casting their net, doing something. I tried fishing, casting a net. That's work. That's work. I can cast a reel easy. But when you have to get that net and josh it around, and the net weigh about 25 or 30 pounds, and you got to throw that thing. And if you throw it and miss it, you got to pull it back in and throw it again. And you be standing up on the dock when they casting for mullet here in Florida. You cast that net and you have to cast it where it'll spread out. And you let it hit the water. And when you pull up, if you don't see something flipping in it, you say, I'm wasted a cast. These men were industrious, working, and Jesus saw them. And he called them. My question to you again is, what are you doing that you think you can't leave when God calls you? Point number two. The disciples that Jesus called are visionaries. Visionaries. They see things that's not there, but they act just like it's already there. If you can't believe in something that's not there, you don't have much faith. The quality that distinguished the disciples from many others was their visionary. Some lay persons possess other qualities of the disciples, but this particular quality was found in few. You have to be a visionary if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Simply because most of us, if you were to tell the truth when you talk about yourself to God, can you see yourself being forgiven for all of those evil sins that you've done? Don't try to tell them. Don't try to tell them, because we don't need to know. But can you see yourself? If you cannot see yourself, you're not a visionary. You need to see yourself being forgiven for those sins just because of Christ. And because, Lord, I believe you. And you won't believe him if you do not want to believe him. You have to make a choice. You decide to be a visionary. You decide to see yourself. See yourself being saved. See yourself walking with God. See yourself not doing what you used to do. See yourself being comfortable sitting in church, listening where when before when you would go, you would want them to hurry up and leave. And now you want to. It's all right if you stay a little longer. I know some of you are probably saying not today, but we have to get that vision of ourselves where we see ourselves comfortable and satisfied and doing the work of God. And sometimes you have to grow into this. You have to grow into this. You don't just wake up just because you think and you say it. You have to sure enough mean it and see yourself. You have to be that visionary. Few people have a strong vision. Giving up everything to follow Jesus. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Does this mean I give up my Rolls Royce? No. You don't walk out there and put a sign on it and give it away to everybody else. But you give it up. Whatever you have that you have placed number one in your life, if it's not God, if it's not Jesus the Christ, it needs to move. Your job, your house, your car, your children, your spouse, they do not need to be number one. Because if you make God number one, he'll take care of them. You have to be a visionary and you have to see yourself walking with God. If nobody else walk with him, I'm going to walk with him. Because of where he brought me from, I have a vision of seeing myself with God. And because I love him so much and I'm walking with him, I'm going to take everybody else I can that are willing to listen to him. I have to be out of my mind. I have to be, because when God puts something in you, you just have to do it. When you're the visionary that he have put you in, you have to see it. I keep saying this, and I didn't have this in my notes, but it's in my life. This where you are today, this is a vision of God right here. And I keep telling myself, and I was over to Pastor Parker's the other week in his new sanctuary, and his was about as full as ours is, and he holds about 300 or 400. And I said, why did we do it? He said, I don't know. He said, but God did it. God did it. And I got enough sense to follow God. One of these days, my vision is that you're going to have to take numbers to get in here. We're going to have to go to 2 services on Sunday morning because there's going to be so many people. That's the vision that God showed me. That's where we have to be. God, you have to follow him. I don't understand it, God. We got all of these chairs in here. And more than half of them don't have anybody in them. But then somewhere somebody made a move and said, if you build it, they will come. But I changed that. I said, if God build it, they will come. They will come. You have to be a visionary and you have to see God doing things that you think are impossible. Jesus calls a person to a life of work, not a life of loss and comfort and comfort. He calls a person to invest his life, not waste his life. John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. See, I believe we have this what we have because the day is coming when we would not have been able to do what we do, what we've already done. God fixed it so it would be here because the people will come. If you keep putting out this word of God, the people will come. They might not like it when they come, but if they come because of their love for God, they don't have to like me. They just have to like the word of God. There have to be a hunger down on the inside of you that nothing or nobody else seem to can fulfill it. But when you hear the word of God, it feeds your soul. I don't know why and I don't know how it is that if you fast and you're praying and you're talking to God, food just seem to be something that's not on your mind because you have eaten the word of God. Somewhere Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And somewhere he calls himself food for the nourishment of our soul. When you have the vision that God have placed in you and you become a visionary, God will provide just what you need. And while it's day in your life, you need to do the work that God have called you to do. The primary call of believers is to become fishers of men. This where we mess up a lot of the times, how we miss what God have for us. We want to become teachers and preachers and founders of churches and counselors and administrators. He doesn't call you to do that. He just called you to be fishers of men. He said you fish for them. And every now and then you will drop in on a bed of fish, a school of fish. As soon as you drop the hook in there, you will catch one. And before you can get it out and get it back in there, another one have already bitten. All you got to do is just put the bait out there and just wait on them to come. And I'm glad you asked. I heard you. This is the bait right here. The word of God. You cast it out and you let it set in them for a while. And after a while, by and by, they get to looking at it and it looks good. I know some of you in your mind, you don't see how an earthworm dangling down in the water can look good to a fish, but that's not your appetite. Let it be a ribeye steak laying on the plate and you need something to eat. God will provide just what you need. Well, be a child of God and need something. and nothing seemed to be able to fulfill the desire that you have, but you get on your knees and you seriously talk with God. God, I'm down here in Crestview, Florida, and I need you to stop by and see about me. Don't have anything, don't have a job, but I need a job. God, will you stop by to see about me? But now when you ask him, make sure you look in the want ads, look in the where the jobs are being posted, go to Job Plus, somewhere where jobs are being given out. Don't just pray about a job and stay at home. Don't look in the newspaper. Don't do anything else. Want God to bring it by your house and knock on the door and say, I got a job for you. That's never going to happen. Nobody's going to do that. The newspaper man don't even do that anymore. He might throw it on your porch and leave it there. But when you have, when God has something for you to do, you got to do a little something to let God come your way. He will provide just what you need. He calls you to do what he needs for you to do. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you do like he said, that's Mark chapter 16, verse 15. When you have the vision and you do like he said, God will provide just what you need. Point in case, I love to try to teach. And then now we're in Bible study. We're studying the book of Proverbs. And I told them I don't know what I'm doing in Proverbs, because Proverbs keeps me thoroughly confused a lot of the time. But it constantly keeps me on my knees. And I've been praying more the last 2 or 3 months than I have in a long time. God, help me to get this to your people, that this is what you have for them. You wouldn't have had Solomon them to write this unless you had was going to give us something from it. If nothing else, we're going to find that if we get wisdom, we get understanding, God will take care of us. If you do like he said, you become a visionary. You see things that's not might not be there. And some people don't see what you see. I look at these young people up here every morning. Sunday morning, we got 7, 8 of them up here, and there's 22 chairs up here. What are you saying? Somebody would say, take all of them out from up here, but 8. But I say, add another one, because I have a vision that it's going to be full. You have to be trusting and walking with God. They were down to 4 or 5 the other day, and now they got 8, and there's some more of them that's going to come, because God said, I will bring them. You have to be a visionary. You have to see God working to do what he needs to be done. Somebody didn't see you where you are in your walk with God today, but you saw yourself. You have to see yourself. You have to be a visionary. You have to know that this is what God would have you to do. Point number 3, the disciples that Jesus was calling was cooperative men. They were cooperating. You heard him read it in the passage of scripture. They were brothers, and they were working together. Now, come on now. Think about your own, you and your own sibling. Could you have been working together with them, grown men, working on a job? Most of them were working in family work. They were cooperating. They were brothers, and yet they were working together. And we call one another brothers, brother this and brother that, and sister this and sister that. Can we work together in building God's kingdom? You got to cooperate with people. You can't do anything by yourself. Listen, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that said, let there be, and was there when he said, let us go make man. When he came to earth, one of the first things he did when he got his ministry started was he walked down by the seashore and he got some help. What you mean by it? You cannot do it all by yourself. You need some help. That's why you need to be fishers of men. These brothers were doing the work of God. This tells us that their parents had taught them to love and care for each other. They came from a close-knit family, a family that worked together. They stayed together, and if they worked together, they probably prayed together. They followed in the steps of their parents, teaching and maintaining the brotherly spirit throughout life. There's a need for a brotherly spirit spirit, the kind of spirit that Christ desires for his followers, the kind of kingdom that Christ is building, a kingdom of followers with brotherly love and the brotherly spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly, affectionately one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Help somebody else to obtain what they want, and God will provide just what you need. Don't be selfish and self-centered and only think about yourself. Think about somebody else sometime. Help somebody else obtain what they are trying to obtain, and God will provide just what you need. There's a need for reaching families and brothers and sisters and reaching others. Some of us don't want to minister to our own family, and I can tell you why. They know how bad, how sorry, how useless you used to be, but they don't know to you that God have stepped on the inside of. That's why you got to tell them. You got to tell them what these men did. The first somebody they went to, they went and found their family. You got to minister to your family, because if anybody gonna believe you, they ought to believe you, because they know how you used to be. And I keep saying that because family are closer, whether we like to admit it or not. Two brothers fighting, don't get in it, because if they fighting one another, if you get in it, they both of them gonna jump on you. That's the way we ought to do the devil when he come and get in a fight that's between two Christians. Both of us need to jump on the devil and make him leave. You have to understand that family is important. This is why God, in the beginning, back in the Garden of Eden, he didn't make a church. He didn't make a fraternal organization. He made a family. He made a husband and a wife. And the next thing he did was add children to the family. See, God is family oriented. You got to care about your family. That's why you need to love the people that's in your church, because that's your family. You ought to love them because God said it. Might not like the way he look, but you ought to love him anyhow. You can love him until he begin to look different. I look at Deacon Westbrook sitting up here every Sunday morning. He looked like he'd bite the head off of a 20 penny nail, but he got something in him that God have placed in him. He does not like to let it come out, but it's on the inside of him. See, you can't take that and take it away from him. You have to love them just like they are. And after a while, by and by, the goodness in them will come out. You got to love them, because family is what God made us to be. You got to become fishers of men. And when you're fishers of men, you do things to attract men and women. I'm using the word collectively, cooperative. Men is everybody, male and female. You got to attract them to God, not to you. Don't come to God because of me. Come to God because of the God that you see in me. Because I'm flesh just like you. I'm a forgiven sinner, and God will fix us. So some people will draw us to him. Jesus looks at people and he sees us all as his children. Because I just believe when he was forming Adam down by the sea, bound by the water, he said, this is man. From now on, he gonna be just like this. Made him in his own image. Didn't make him after a cow or an ox. He made him after his own image. See, God will do just what he needs. He'll make what he need. There's a need for parents to train up their children in the way that they should go. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You got to instill something in him. Somebody have told you about Christ. You might not have grasped it when they first told you, but they told you. You had heard about this man called Jesus, and you had a vision of the way that he could help you to become what he needed for you to be. Point number four, the disciples of Jesus were successful, but they were sacrificial and considerate men. Zebedee and his son, James and John, were successful fishermen. They had a fishing business, and the sons left their father with the hired servant because Jesus said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then ask him, how long we're going to be gone? How much you going to pay us? They dropped what they were doing and followed Jesus, left their father in good hands. They didn't leave him without help because they left him with the hired servant. James and John, despite their success as fellow laborers with their father, sacrificed their part of the business. They was in business because I know you Bible scholars. You remember when Jesus went into they carried Jesus just before they crucified him, when they went to the high priest's house where he in his palace where he lived. When John walked up there, they recognized him and they let him in. Why you tell us that back? Because this tells me that John probably had sold him some fish and they remembered who he was. See, and sometime, thank you, Lord, you can't get in on yourself. Somebody will know your daddy or your mama and you'll get in on their word because they're upright people. See, God fixes us because we are successful and considerate men and women of God. God fixes. So just because you walk up, you can get in sometime. You might not know how you got in, but you'll get in because who you belong to. Sometime if you belong to Jesus, you'll get your places that nothing else can get you. John and James and John were considerate of their father. They didn't leave him by himself. They had some servants that were hired, that were going to get paid, and they left him with them. You see about our daddy, the way he paid you before, he'll continue to pay you. See, God will provide and make a way. They were considerate and they were sacrificial. They sacrificed the position that they had in the business. Didn't matter whether they were first in charge, in line behind the daddy, but they gave it all up to follow Jesus. My question to you is, what are you willing to give up to follow Jesus? You're going to have to give up something. You can't bring all your mess in with Jesus. You got to become a fishers of men. You got to know how to drop that bait, and you got to know how long to let it stay. Sometimes if the fish are real hungry and biting in a hurry, all you got to do is just drop anything out there. I've seen men catch fish that were in a place without bait on the hook in fresh water. But then I've seen those same men take bait and put it out there right where the fish were, and they would not bite. See, you have to have a hunger for this word of God. If you don't already know Jesus, you have to be hungry for him. You got to be hungry, and not hunger. You got to be hungry. This means you wanting something. Doesn't mean that you've eaten this morning and your stomach just made a little growl, but you haven't eaten for 2 or 3 days. And now you need something to eat. See, that's why most of us in America don't know what hunger is. Because if we eat at 6 and we don't eat again till 12, we're hungry. That's not hungry. You ought to eat 2 days after. Then you might be hungry. When your stomach start talking to your backbone, then you can be hungry. But that's the way you need to be about the word of God. You need to be so thriving and so hungry after the word of God that you seek after it every place you go. You look at a billboard and you see, you read that billboard and you read it where it says that it says one thing, but you read it where God will help me if I help somebody else, somebody in the need or something, and you only have just a little bit, you give it away. The widow woman, she had a little meal and all. The prophet told her, she said, I'm going and fix something for me and my son, and then we're going to die. The prophet said, no, before you do that, fix me a whole cake and bring it back. She was so obedient. She fixed it and brought it back. And every time she went to the meal barrel and the oil barrel, it was something else in there. God's all right. If you provide, if you have a vision for God, God will provide just what you need. Well, I got to get out your way. Listen, when you're going to fish, you got to know what kind of fish that you're fishing for. Well, if you're fishing for catfish, you don't need to go out there with no crickets. You need to get you some chicken liver and put a little garlic salt in it and let it set up for 2 or 3 days. And then you get it and you put it on that hook and you drop it out there in that water and you tight line and you let it set there. And then when you hear that, I put a little bell on mine. And when that little bell said ring, 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 I got him because I put it on there. See, a catfish is a bottom eater. He eats off the bottom and he's going to go to the bottom. That garlic going to get in that water and it's going to draw him to it and he'll bite it. So you have to know what you're fishing for. If you got a Christian that's a bike slider, you got to know he's a bike slider and you got to tell him about what thus saith the Lord. If you continue to walk away from it, the worse of things going to get. It ain't going to get no better. When you're a bike sliding Christian, things ain't going to get no better. It's going to constantly get worse because you're walking away from God. You got to fish with the bait for the person that you're fishing, that you're trying to catch. Most of us in here today, if not all of us in here today, have turned our back on God in some area of our life. In some area of our life. Does it mean that I'm lost? No. You just have backslidden. You've gotten away from God. This message today is to entice you to come back to God. You haven't left him, but you turned your back on him. You can turn your back on God and stay at the same place. I don't fish in the Gulf like Leroy and Brother Frank. I fish in the swamps when I fish a lot of times. And you have to know the area. If this is a cypress tree right here, and the water around it is this color, black like this, you don't fish on the top of that water. You fish down at the bottom, because the larger fish are going to be in the darker holes at the bottom. You know why? Because if the little fish come down there, the big fish going to eat him. You catch the little fish on the top. You fish on the bottom where you catch the bigger fish. And y'all excuse me, but I have a pole. I had one. I don't have one like that now. But you take him by a cane pole. You cut the end of it off, the limber part. You cut it off. You make it where it's stiff, like this pin is. You tape eyes on it all down there until you get right to the end. Then you go to the store and you buy a rod end and you put it on that pole. You take and get a... I'll show y'all how to do this if y'all catch them. You take and get you a stick about this long. You're notching on this end, you're notching on that end. And you get that same tape and you tape that piece of board on that pole and you put the line on there and wrap it around it. You put about 17 or 18 or 20 pound test line, because when you drop it down here, you do what they call jigging. You let it go down. I count 1, 2, 3. I pick it up. Hold it up. Then I drop it back down. 1, 2, 3. And if it's a fish in there, you fish with earthworms when you're fishing the river. I'm looking at Brother Allen. He's drooling at the mouth over there. You take and put that hook him in the middle. It's where it's dangling on both sides. And to that goggle eye, that smallmouth bass or that warmouth that's down in there, that looked like a ribeye steak. And you just take it up and down. And if it's one in there, you'll hit what you'll think is a stump. But if you keep pressing on it and it keep coming, you got him. That's the way what happens to you with this word. You were in here Sunday before last or the Sunday before that. I dangled the word in front of you. I took it up and I let it back down. I took it up and I let it back down. And some of us, this word gets to us and we bite it. But the person that's